This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So Governor Cuomo is, I believe, currently addressing the public based on his allegations. As soon as we get any breaking news, or if we could play the audio, we will. But in the meantime, we have some other breaking news. Simone Biles won the bronze on the balance beam final in the U.S. Olympics. I am extremely, extremely proud of her. But criticism just keeps growing. And I would think everybody would be just so supportive and so proud of her and shut the heck up. But I get it. I get it. Especially as a physician, especially as a mom, especially as an amateur athlete. I understand why there's, you know, people kind of stepping back going, okay, well, what about the other athletes? What about those that might have wanted to compete in her place for uneven bars and all that? So we've spoken about, you know, the troubles she went through and how I think she deserved to be there based on her qualified performance. And once she is there, she has a choice of performing or not performing. And that's really the big question people have, is if you become an Olympian and you make the finals and you take that role and you are now in that position and you are representing the U.S., are you mandated? Are you legally required by law to perform? My answer as a physician is heck no, because if at all you're not feeling it and you think you can hurt yourself, no. No. So she's had to try and defend herself, saying, I didn't cop out. I don't know why anybody would say she copped out. You know, not feeling it and not being ready and not being mentally prepared is as good an excuse as any. But it does make you wonder, is she going to then compete in the 2024 Olympics? Now, people say, well, she got a lot of press. You know, this gave her... she had more to gain with all of this. I disagree with all that. You know, this was very rare what we've seen, you know, over the past week or so for somebody who has had all that on their shoulders, multiple gold medals, expecting to be a gold favorite, being in all these commercials, and I don't know when she had time to train because there was so much, you know, so much media attention she needed, you know, and then she gets there and she starts to fumble. And from a strategic PR perspective, I thought it was a good move for her to back out. Because why fall? Why have millions of people watch you fall or not perform at your best? Look at what happened with Michael Phelps. I don't know if it was during the Rio Olympics or if it was the one before where he, you know, I guess he didn't win his first race and everybody said, well, he's done. He's done. And then, you know, he had to prove himself. And, you know, that's not a way you want to end your career or, you know, continue with your career. So once she wasn't feeling it, you know, on the vault originally, I don't blame her. Now, athletes are mad. You know, some of them might say, look, you know, we don't get that choice. You know, we have to perform no matter what. But gymnastics, I think, is different. And I think with gymnastics, you definitely get a pass. Because as we've talked about, multiple people have had very serious injuries when they weren't feeling it. And one of the things that Simone Biles was describing was the twisties. And I guess the twisties, it's not somebody twisting, you know, a buddy's nipple. It's being up in the air. And rather than your body coordinating, especially your cerebellum, knowing where you land, how far you are from the ground, she got lost. And if she doesn't know how to, you know, where the ground is going to be, and she's starting to get confused, and it could be a neurological issue, it could be a vestibular issue, an ear issue, there's multiple organs involved in this process and multiple complex pathways, neurological pathways. And if she's not feeling it and if it's not right, you can't compete. And the last thing you want to do is break your neck, let alone, you know, do that during an Olympic competition. I mean, you know, she is a beacon for a lot of young people who want to become an Olympian, who want to succeed, who want to overcome challenges. And maybe she felt that role as well. And she's like, I don't want people to see me fall. And it was really tough because she couldn't go through this in private. I know many people that take off work. I'll call them up going, what are you doing home? And they're like, well, I told my boss I was sick, but I just needed a mental health day. You know, people don't feel like they could talk about it. Well, Simone Biles, everybody talked about it. I mean, it was out there. And so I expected that she was going to want to compete the following week, which was then this week, to show people that she can still do it. She still deserves to be an Olympian. She just didn't want to do 7 different events. She wasn't feeling up to it. So she still did her part. She still got a medal, and she got, I guess, on the balance beam. I think what happened is she downgraded, rather than doing the Biles dismount, she did a double pike dismount, I believe. Still got a 14.000 score. Losing to China's Guan Shenshen and Tang Jing, Zijing, they won gold and silver respectively. But again, she won, and you know, something that's very interesting is when I saw her performance, she was very composed. She was very calm. She was very focused. So I would rather an athlete take the time they need to do a good, strong performance than to, you know, try to rush it just because everybody has all these expectations. Now, are the Olympics going to change? Are sports going to change? Are they going to, you know, want to ensure that any athlete that makes it there is going to perform? I don't know, because I think mental health is something that's really in the forefront now. And the Olympics, I know the USA Team Gymnastics was very, very supportive of her. But they might want to do, you know, might want to take more time and care, have more mental health professionals on staff for these guys. I mean, look at what happened. Was it Mikhail Veroni? One of them had come forward talking about what Larry Nassar, the doctor, did to them. You know, making them naked and laying on top of them and assaulting them. You know, these athletes need support. And considering what Simone Biles went through, she is the GOAT. And I am so proud of her. I think she's amazing. God bless. And I hope she gets to compete again. 1-877-DOCTELLY.
This report is sponsored by IBM. You may know that Michael J. Fox has Parkinson's disease, but did you know that this condition affects more than an estimated 6 million people globally? In 2000, Fox launched the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research, and over the past few years, the foundation has been working with IBM researchers to accelerate the discovery of critical information about Parkinson's disease. And now, this collaboration has reached a significant milestone. IBM Director AI for Healthcare Jianying Hu explains.
In our latest work, we demonstrate a new AI model that identifies typical symptom patterns of Parkinson's disease. The model also characterizes the progression of these symptoms in timing and severity. Hopefully, by using machine learning, clinicians and researchers could have a new tool to better assess and predict the varying progression of symptoms in Parkinson's patients. They can then better manage and treat the disease, as well as identify the best candidates for more targeted and more effective clinical trials.
For more, visit IBM.com/research.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay Bay 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Alright guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to my producer, Daniel. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So Governor Cuomo just spoke. I was only able to get the tail end of it because I was on air. And it was a very, very short statement. I don't think he took any questions. I don't think he answered any questions. And all I heard is that he asked that New Yorkers work together, that New York can do amazing things when they work together, and look at all the progress they made with COVID. So, you know, once we see the full transcript, I'll be able to convey a little bit more. But this was done in response to Attorney General Letitia James' conclusion after their investigation of Andrew Cuomo. And their 168 report was released today. It was a 5-month investigation. And Attorney General James wrote, or stated upon completion of our independent investigation into allegations of sexual harassment brought against Governor Andrew Cuomo and the surrounding circumstances, we have reached a conclusion that the governor sexually harassed a number of state employees through unwelcome and unwanted touching, as well as making numerous offensive and sexually suggestive comments. We find that such conduct was part of a pattern of behavior that extended to his interactions with others outside of state government. We also find the executive chamber's response to allegations of sexual harassment violated its internal policies, and that the executive chamber's response to one complaint's allegations constituted unlawful retaliation. In addition, we conclude that the culture of fear and intimidation, the normalization of inappropriate comments and interactions, and the poor enforcement of the policies and safeguards contributed to the sexual harassment, retaliation, and an overall hostile work environment in the executive chamber. So he's got some splaining to do. And it appears that there is now bipartisan calls for him to leave. So there were 11 women accusers, at least. And even the doctor that had tested her, remember he said, "Hey, doctor, you make that gown look good." Now, I mean, here's the thing. I'm around guys like that all the time. And, you know, I per se might not be bothered by something like that. But she did note that it made her, that those comments were sexual. And that's the vibe she got. And so the problem, and this is something that really frustrates a lot of people when they're not looking at something as blatant as Governor Cuomo has been accused of doing, but non-blatant, like, you know, that dress looks good on you. I mean, I love that comment. I've made that comment to people. But depending on who is giving it, it could be taken a variety of different ways. And one thing we've spoken about on the show, and we will probably continue to speak, is how all women might need to be on the same page when it comes to harassment. And the reason why is, how many times has somebody said I look good or whatever, and I just, you know, I might brush it off, and I'm like, okay, he's a creep or whatever. Or it's somebody we're like, oh, he thinks I look good. He looks good. Yeah, he thinks I look good. Anytime you accept a compliment like that, the person giving it might say, oh, well, then I guess I'm okay with doing that. I had a friend who was making a lot of Jew jokes. And, you know, some of them, really inappropriate. And when I said, you know, and then a couple of them, I might have giggled because they were really mild and funny. But when I saw they were getting more inappropriate, I'm like, okay, dude, why do you do that? He's like, do those offend you? I'm like, I'm not offended, but I could see how other people could be offended. He's like, I was telling these jokes to my friend, and he said they were fine. Well, just because there's one Jew out there that doesn't mind the jokes doesn't mean they all like those jokes. Same thing, just because one woman liked your compliments, just because something worked on one woman, doesn't mean it works for every woman. And so I'm not saying harassment is our fault as ladies. I'm not saying that. But sadly, many times these behaviors are repeated because they got away with it. You know, just like, you know, somebody raping somebody, they got to go to jail or they're going to rape again. Somebody complimenting and it actually turns out to be a date, next time they want to date somebody, they might use that exact same compliment. Yeah, but that compliment on somebody else might be construed as sexual harassment. Which is why rule of thumb is just don't do any of this at work. I mean, just be smart. It doesn't have to happen at work. Now, is Governor Cuomo going to step down? From what I understand, it didn't sound like it when I was listening to the press conference. It seems like, you know, he's denied the allegations, but he had a small press conference and I don't think he stepped down. And I don't think he plans to. So, I'm sorry, I don't have the transcript. So what are some of the things he was accused of? Okay, so when you take a look at some of his victims and what had happened, I it wasn't just as simple as, you know, oh, you look nice, and, oh, you know, that's inappropriate, you're looking at me funny. One, this was Executive Assistant 1. This happened between 2019 and 2020. She said that he groped her repeatedly, sexually harassed her when she worked for him, subjected her to close and intimate hugs, kisses on the cheeks and forehead, at least one kiss on the lips, and touched her butt. He allegedly referred to her and one other assistant as mingle mamas and asked her repeatedly if she would ever cheat on her husband. Yeah, that's just not cool. Not cool at all. In November 2020, he allegedly groped her breasts at the executive mansion in Albany. So for over 3 months, the report says Executive Assistant Number 1 kept this groping incident to herself, planned to take it to the grave, but found herself becoming emotional in a way that was visible to her colleagues in the executive chamber while watching the governor state at a press conference that he had never touched anyone inappropriately. She then confided in certain colleagues, who in turn reported her allegations to senior staff in the executive chamber. There was a trooper back in 2017 who alleges that Cuomo sexually harassed them. She was hired onto his protective detail. Once she was on the team, he allegedly sexually harassed her on a number of occasions, ran his hand across her stomach from her belly button to her right hip while she held a door open for him at an event, ran his finger down her back when they were together in an elevator. He said, "Hey, you," kissed her on the cheek. I mean, she's just trying to be his protection. He's just, you know, what are you doing? He also allegedly asked her to help him find a girlfriend and said he wanted someone who liked pain and asked her why she wanted to get married, saying your sex drive goes down. Trooper 1 found these interactions with the governor not only offensive but uncomfortable. And markedly different from the way he interacted with members of the PSU who were met. Charlotte Bennett, 2020, worked for him as an aide, allegedly asked if she'd date older men, asking her to help him find a girlfriend, apparently quizzing her on a sexual assault she had endured, and he wanted to ride into the mountains with women, he told her. State entity employee from 2019, unidentified, he had posed pictures with her, and while the picture was being taken, he grabbed her butt. The employee was shocked, discussed it with a number of friends, family, and coworkers, and that was obviously inappropriate as well. Another employee, this corroborated, this was the doctor. She said that when he told her in front of camera, "It's nice to see you, doctor, you make that gown look good," felt it was sexual harassment. She also said that before the test, he asked her not to swab him so hard that it hit his brain. She replied that she'd be gentle but accurate, and he said, "I've heard that before," which the doctor said was implied in a sexual nature. Virginia Liamiatis worked for an energy company, was wearing a T-shirt with the company's name written across the chest. He ran his two fingers across her chest, allegedly pressed down on each of the letters as he did so, reading out the name of the company as he went. Ooh, I hate when that happens. I don't wear shirts with logos now because people will do that. They will put their fingers on the writing on your shirt. Absolutely makes no sense. It's aggressive. It's creepy. And then he leaned in with his face close to her cheek, and he said, "I'm going to say I see a spider on your shoulder," and then brushed the area between her shoulder and her breasts. So she came forward. And then Lindsay Boylan said Cuomo made inappropriate remarks to her when she worked as chief of staff to the CEO of the Empire State Development Corporation. He said he found her attractive and that he wanted to play strip poker. She said that he touched her various parts of the body, including her waist, legs, and back. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. For now, he doesn't look like he's stepping down, but not cool. Not cool at all. 1-877-DOCTELLY.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
New York Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo is facing serious charges of sexual harassment. Attorney General Lolita James announcing her findings of the five-month investigation into allegations from multiple women that Cuomo created a sexually hostile work environment.
Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women, many of whom were young women, by engaging in unwanted groping, kisses, hugging, and by making inappropriate comments.
James also saying,
the governor and his senior team took actions to retaliate against at least one former employee for coming forward with her story, her truth.
In the past, Cuomo has denied any allegations of sexual harassment. The Pentagon remains on lockdown. Reports say it's due to a shooting outside the building near a metro station. USA Radio News. After backlash from both sides of the political aisle, the Biden administration is keeping a policy in place on the U.S.-Mexico border.
The Biden administration will keep a policy in place to turn away illegal migrants at the border due to the COVID pandemic. The extension of the Trump-era policy, known as Title 42, was announced by the Centers for Disease Control Monday, saying in a statement that the introduction of non-citizens, regardless of their country of origin, migrating through Canada and Mexico into the U.S. creates a serious danger of the introduction of COVID-19 into the United States. The Biden administration had previously indicated that they would end the policy over the summer. The American Civil Liberties Union also announced Monday that they would be filing a lawsuit in an attempt to force the administration to lift the policy. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Voters in the 11th and 15th District in Ohio are heading to the polls today for a special election primary to be held. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So a few weeks back, after years of comic book stories and television, movie themes and people kind of making fun of those spotting UFOs, I always believed that they could exist. That was just me. We had some evidence presented to us that these things are real. But then we haven't heard much in the news after that. And I'm still very intrigued by what is going on with these unidentified aerial phenomena. So very fortunately for us, we have Dr. J.C. Van Valkenburg, former Los Alamos National Lab biophysicist, and Deborah LaPrivat, former FBI special agent and forensic scientist, to kind of tell us about the latest and greatest of what's going on with these unidentified aerial phenomena. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Hello.
So, wow. I mean, I was never surprised. I was never surprised, but I didn't know all the details, and I didn't realize that how much of a database and of information the government has. Either one of you could start. First of all, what do we know about UFOs and unidentified aerial phenomena?
Well, really now, what has happened is we've had a paradigm shift, whereas before the question was, do UAP exist? And now we've moved from that question, yes, they do exist. It is an unidentified aerial phenomenon. That means it is something that we cannot explain. Yes, they exist. Yes, we are getting these on a daily basis. We are getting documentation of these across the nation and across the world. But the next question now is, what are they? And really, the only way to go about finding that out is through science of a serious scientific investigation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Doctor, why not UFOs? Why are they using phenomenon? Is because are some of these not objects? Is phenomenon supposed to be more general?
What has happened is that in our history, the term UFO has been it's sort of taken on a life of its own, and it's taken on a specific connotation within the public mindset. You know, that it's a little bit of a crackpot conspiracy theory. It's a very charged terminology at this point. The entertainment industry has used it. It's been very, very sensationalized with aliens and attacks and threats and, you know, all those things that you see in an action movie. And in order to really go alongside a serious shift into a bona fide empirical scientific research to figure out what these things are, you also have to have a change in terminology, and because that sort of wipes it out of people's minds from all the stuff that they have a preconceived notion about.
I think that's brilliant, and I think it's necessary, because people are thinking about flying saucers, they're thinking about Star Trek, Captain Kirk hooking up with the green alien, and this is some serious stuff. These are phenomenon. So, Deborah, your former FBI special agent, forensic scientist, what are comprising the majority of these phenomena? Do we think they're actual ships? Do we think they're energy sources? What are you finding?
Well, what I can tell you is that over the last 4 years, GCP has collected thousands of images and video that show a variety of what appears to be aircraft. It's something flying, and a lot of them don't live up to the standards that we know in science right now. I mean, in other words, they surpass it. They move at faster speeds than that we currently believe any aircraft that we possess can function at. They have trajectories where they will be going full out, stop, and make a 90-degree turn. Again, nothing that we know can do that. So thousands of photographs and images are being taken daily annually around the globe. And we get photographs daily, and it's just a huge variety. So what we can say is that they don't seem to be matching anything that fits into the known universe of aircraft as we know them. So that's why scientific evaluation and analysis is required.
Fantastic. You know, Genesis 2 Project has been behind much of the data that you know, the senators and you know, our government officials are looking at. How long has Genesis 2 Project been working on this data collection?
We've been collecting data for over 4 years. We really started our focused data collection effort a little over 4 years ago. And we've, you know, we're using the scientific process, which is very slow. It's not like you see it on TV where someone runs into a lab and gets an answer, you know, within half an hour.
Right.
The process itself involves a lot of different scientists doing analysis, which each person's analysis takes a very long time. We're very careful in our data curation. You know, for example, the first step in our data analysis is to make sure that any documented image that we decide to that it is valid to do scientific research on has to first go through and be authenticated by digital forensic analysis. And we've chosen Primo Forensics, which is one of the nation's top digital forensic analysis teams. And they follow all of the rules and regulations that the U.S. court system demands anytime you present evidence in court. You know, so that goes from we have to actually get the actual device that the image was made on and deliver it to them so that they can check the device itself. And part of that is important because they need the features from inside the device itself in order to have the GPS coordinates, in order to know what the features are in that device to know, was this a lens flare or not? You know, and once they go through and do their analysis and we're insured by them that there is no image manipulation, there's been no photoshopping, there has been no even changing of the lighting on the image, that there is no artifact of the technology itself, then we have an actual real piece of data that is valid that we can then start to look at from a scientific perspective.
Mm-hmm. Deborah, how worried should we be? I mean, do we think this is a foreign country? Do we think this is extraterrestrial? People are worried. What would you tell our listeners?
I would say at this time, don't be worried. I mean, the first thing that you would think of is, no, it's probably not a foreign government, because it would be extremely unlikely that China, Russia, or another foreign nation would choose to test and experiment with technology over U.S. airspace. They'd want to keep it quiet and to themselves.
Right.
Secondly, images have been captured for decades. So whatever these objects are have been around for decades, probably millennia, and because there's all kinds of historical documentation of unidentified aerial phenomenon. So what we would say is that to our knowledge, there has been no aggressive behavior towards anyone related to these things. So at this time, I mean, if they're here every day and they're being photographed around the world, you know, right now there doesn't seem to be a threat. However, we do take national security incredibly serious. And the bottom line is, whatever they are in U.S. airspace. Mm-hmm. And so anything in U.S. airspace deserves to be addressed and would attract the attention of the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm. How can people find out more information?
And it is www.genesis2project.com.
That's fantastic. Dr. Velkenberg and Deborah LePrevat, thank you both so, so much for joining us. Can't wait to have you back, and keep up the amazing work.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOCTORLINE.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated?
Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
For tuning in, 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So do you guys remember the movie G.I. Jane? You know, Demi Moore, I believe, was trying to get into the Navy SEALs, and, you know, Viggo Mortensen was there, and Viggo Mortensen was mean, and, you know, there was all sorts of stuff going on. I love Viggo Mortensen. Not my favorite role of his, but he did a good job. And recently in the news, a female sailor successfully completed the grueling 37-week training course to become a Naval Special Warfare Combatant Craft Crewman, which they're probably not going to use the term crewman much longer. because she's there. And these are the boat operators who transport Navy SEALs and conduct their own classified missions at sea. So we're starting to hear more about, all right, you know, Navy SEALs and, you know, some of the training. But what I didn't realize is some of this training involves animals. Now, I'm a big fan of animals. I got tons of cats, dogs, and I guess we have lizards and scorpions and whatever else the cats bring in. But I had no idea that some of the training involved animals. So here to join us is Shalin Gala, Vice President of International Laboratory Methods, to talk about some of the U.S. Marines style training. Shalin, thank you so much for joining us.
It is.
Oh. Hope we didn't lose. Shalin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi, I can hear you perfectly. Great, great. So, yeah, so kind of talk to us about what some of the, you know, military training entails, such as Cobra Gold.
Sure. So Cobra Gold is a massive multinational military exercise. It's held every year in Thailand, and it's currently taking place right now. And it's co-organized by Thailand and the U.S., and part of this drill involves ostensibly teaching troops how to survive when they're trapped in a jungle situation. But the barbaric use of animals during this training is really deadly, dishonorable, and frankly dangerous. And disturbing photos and video footage of past Cobra Gold exercises actually show U.S. troops killing chickens with their bare hands, skinning and eating live geckos, consuming live scorpions and tarantulas, and even decapitating cobras and then, like, drinking their blood. So the frenzied decapitating, killing, and eating of these live animals during Cobra Gold is really more like a frat party gone wrong than a training exercise for ethical military personnel.
That is interesting. I mean, I understand that if, you know, like on a loan or whatever, they have to hunt their food and they have to survive on animals. But if it's a comp, I mean, are these people like out there, you know, for weeks, you know, trying to survive and eating scorpions for nutrition? Or is it that they have to undergo the hazing such that it could be proven to their superiors that if they have to eat a scorpion, they would?
So we've actually worked with numerous military veterans, and they actually wrote a letter to the Secretary of Defense on this very issue, and they were calling for a stop to this this killing of animals during the annual Cobra Gold military exercise. And they themselves said that they deserve the best training to survive in the outdoors, but Cobra Gold's use of live animals resembles a vulgar hazing ritual, and it doesn't deliver any real practical survival skills that they would need. Rather, as the U.S. Marine Corps has admitted, the main objective of this activity has been to build camaraderie between nations, and this goal really could be achieved so easily through other means that don't harm or kill any animals.
Right. To drink a cobra's blood, that's more ceremonial. There's no reason to kill the cobra and drink its blood. Win an award, win a medal. I mean, that's interesting. Is it that, like you had said, you know, to build camaraderie? One thing I'm very cautious of in society is people bonding based on the obstruction and discrimination against, you know, other groups and those that can't help themselves. And so I wonder if maybe that's why throughout the centuries, killings of animals used to be done because it was a bonding measure, which is, to me, a waste. And I agree with you, barbaric.
Yes, I mean, it's extremely barbaric. And, I mean, the tragic thing is that, especially for, like, Cobra Gold, these animal killing exercises are so unrealistic that during the exercise, the troops that are participating, they don't even find these animals in the wild jungle themselves, but rather they are presented with the animals by the training instructors, which, I mean, that undercuts the premise of the entire exercise that this is for survival training, when in fact, like in a real-life jungle situation, no one is going to be there to present the animals to the troops.
Right, right. I mean, they're going to be, yeah, I think it would be more, and again, I mean, I'm not military, but I think it would, you know, probably be more realistic for them to be, and I mean, can I ask how long the exercise is? I mean, are they like out in the wild for a month, 2 months, or is this like a day or two? I don't know much about Cobra Gold.
So typically, the Cobra Gold has many different events that, and frankly, many of the events are wonderful, like nation building exercises, and they're great, and they help bring countries together, which is a positive. But this is one event during the overall Cobra Gold program that lasts a few days. The Cobra Gold lasts for about a month or so, and this particular animal killing exercise in Cobra Gold lasts about a day or two.
Okay, so it's not like they've been living out in the wild and they have to realize that you're going to have to eat that bug or you're going to have to eat that tarantula. And, you know, if you're hungry, you're going to have to do it. This is more a, you know, let's test you. That, you know, I'm telling you right now, you know, people have asked, you know, do you have to, like with your kids, to teach them survival? And, you know, have them practically hypothermic. I don't think you do. I think, you know, if somebody's hungry enough, they're going to eat. And I think teaching them what you can eat, you know, is probably enough. Eat this, not that. You see that snake? That's poisonous. Don't eat that. How to protect yourself against a cobra. But a chicken, I don't think I've ever been attacked by a chicken. And I don't see why they have to do that for trophy. That to me is a little odd.
Yes, and actually, what we pointed out to the military is that nowadays there are so many books and videos that have been expertly produced by experienced survival instructors, and those can provide troops with all of the skills that they would possibly need if they were stuck in a jungle situation. Also, the U.S. Air Force, their pilots already prepare for worst-case scenarios using virtual reality training, and there are also other interactive simulations that have food procurement components that are available right now. One other thing to point out is that in Cobra Gold, according to reports, the participants were also trained to use jungle vines as a water source and also to recognize edible plants because, again, this is in a jungle situation where there's lots of fruits and vegetables all around you. Mm-hmm. So they really should have stuck to this kind of humane sustenance training rather than mutilating and killing live animals for this course.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Shalyn Gala, Vice President of International Laboratory Methods. I mean, having family in the military, I'm a huge fan of all our branches of the military, and I understand the training that they go through, and I understand the need to be able to kind of group and you know, I mean, have, you know, certain events and bonding exercises, but I think there are some, you know, places where we can make progress, and if we don't have to kill an animal that doesn't need to be killed, I definitely see that. Not to mention some of the zoonotic diseases. You know, one of the things PETA's brought up is there is risk of contagion. And here we are forcing all the military to get vaccinated and, you know, mask and take all these protections, but then we're exposing them to these zoonotic illnesses. You know, there needs to be some consistency.
I fully agree with you. And, I mean, earlier this year, we actually raised this issue in a petition for rulemaking that we sent to the U.S. Department of Defense. And in that petition, we were urging the agency to end the cruel killing and consumption of wild animals, again, some of whom are being initially alive as they are being eaten during Cobra Gold. And as you mentioned, this is the practice that poses a dangerous zoonotic disease threat, which is really similar to the novel coronavirus. And specifically, human contact with animals during Cobra Gold, it puts troops at risk of contracting diseases that can endanger them and the wider public as well. And the World Health Organization, they estimate that approximately 70% of emerging and re-emerging pathogens in recent decades, including the virus that causes COVID-19, originated in animals. And so we're really putting our troops at risk by doing this training.
Absolutely. For more information, people go to PETA.org. Thank you, Shalyn. We really appreciate you being on.
Have an uneasy feeling about the future.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Take care. Bye.
As much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared, and now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.